The following is an exclusive presentation of the Southwest Georgia Network. Welcome to the High School Football Roundup Podcast, an inside listen on high school football in Southwest Georgia, only on the Southwest Georgia Network. Welcome back in to the High School Football Roundup Podcast here on the Southwest Georgia Network. I'm Walter Johnson, and week one of this 2022 high school football season here in Southwest and South Central Georgia is now in the books. So on this week's show, and I'm going to talk about the big wins for both the Daugherty and Lee County Trojans, Worth County Rams winning their opener under head coach Jeff Hammond, and the third team within the Daugherty County school system, the Monroe Tornadoes, and opening with a huge win, and then also how some of the first-year head coaches fared, some other games are interested in, and what's going to happen this week for week number two. So that's on this week's show, and very quickly before getting started, for those people that missed it in a replay of last week's episode number 3, is now online at southwestgeorgianetwork.com, and it was uploaded on Spotify last week, but I was unable to get that episode uploaded on the SouthwestGeorgiaNetwork.com because of the obvious technical difficulties. But it's up there now on SouthwestGeorgiaNetwork.com. Also follow the Southwest Georgia Network on Twitter, SWGA Network. Lots of good stuff there, and on Spotify, and you get this in previous episodes of the Southwest Georgia Network on Spotify, as well as on Anchor at anchor.fm/SWGA Network. So with that being said, let's get started. Obviously start with the Daugherty Trojans and the Westover Patriots at Hugh Mills Stadium and the annual Hamp Smith Classic, which was held at Hugh Mills Stadium for the first time ever in the first several installments of the Hamp Smith Classic, were played at the Albany State University Stadium, at ASU Stadium on the East Campus of Albany State University. When that contest was moved to Hugh Mills Stadium, and for those people, and especially those of you listening for the first time, and for those people that don't know who Hamp or Hampton Smith is, he's the former head football coach at Albany State University, and playing college football at the NCAA Division II level here in Albany, Georgia. And Smith had a stint at what was then Albany State College back in the 70s, from around 1971 to 76, and then came back around, say, mid-80s. And it was there until around sometime in the 90s. And a very influential coach at the NCAA Division II level, Hamp Smith. And back to the Hampton Smith Classic between Daugherty and Westover. And it was a back and forth contest throughout. Westover led early 7-0, and the Patriots scored on the game's first play. And this is according to the
article in the Albany Herald that was published over the weekend. And Patriots sent freshman quarterback Keon Thomas. And helped to put Westover on the board first. With a long touchdown pass to Kayvon Johnson. And Westover led 7-0. It was back and forth. I think the game was tied at 14 apiece, and then Doherty went ahead 20-14, missed the extra point, and then the Patriots had a pick six, and then made the extra point to make the score 21-20 in Westover's favor. But Doherty came back to score the eventual game-winning touchdown and made a two-point conversion. And Stallworth was the hero on that 32-yard run with just over 2 minutes to go. And Cameron Davis, the quarterback for Doherty, was 9-16 passing for 120 yards, or also rushing for another 92 yards. Like I said, a back-and-forth game, back-and-forth, back-and-forth. Back and forth, and those people that were fortunate enough to, you know, get to Humil Stadium on this past Friday night, and witness a classic, and then managed to listen to most of the second half of that game, and a game that could have gone either way. So Westover had his chances to put the game away, but I think Doherty, in the end, proved why they were ranked number 9 in the state in Class AAA in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Georgia High School Football Daily Newsletter. And once again, it was Doherty 28, Westover 21, so Doherty getting off to a good start and going to 1-0 on the 2022 season. And moving on to the other Trojan team within the Metro Albany area, and that would be the Lee County Trojans out of Leesburg, Georgia. And Lee County was a 26th in the Lee County Trojans opened their season up in Middle Georgia, facing the two-time back-to-back defending state champion Warner Robins Demons at McCall Talbert Stadium. And Lee County jumped out to a quick 13-0 lead over Warner Robins, and that was the score for the Trojans right as the first quarter ended. And seeing and Warner Robins scored its only point to the game in the second quarter. And then Lee County scored late in the first half to make it 20-10 at the half. That was the score at the end of the third quarter. And the Trojans added another touchdown late to win 26-10. So 20-10, yes, and 20-10, that was the lead for Lee County at the half, and seeing the Demons never really put up much of a fight in that contest, and one of the big heroes for Lee County and the win over Warner Robins. In Warner Robins was sophomore running back Osmani Korma, who rushed for 216 yards on 20 carries, while J.D. Fugerson had 5 catches for 110 yards, while also throwing a touchdown pass. And on the defensive side of the ball, defensive back Kaysen Hooks, Kaysen with a K, had 8 tackles as well as an interception. In Lee County, outgained Warner Robins 395-233. and broke Warner Robins' 30-game winning streak at McConnell Talbot Stadium. And that streak dated back all the way back to 2018, almost 4 years. Almost 4 years to the day that Warner Robins last lost a game at home or at McConnell Talbot Stadium. And McConnell Talbot Stadium is very much like Hugh Mills Stadium here in Albany. And then and just as Daugherty, Munro, and Westover share Hugh Mills Stadium for their home games, and Warner Robins and Northside pretty much do the same with McConnell Talbot Stadium. And again, it was Lee County picking up the win 26-10 over the two-time back-to-back defending state champion, the Warner Robins Demons out of Class 5A. And I'm going to move on. Let's see. And Lee County will host Hapeville Charter out of the Metro Atlanta area this week. And moving right along, we got some got the Munro Tornadoes and opening their season with a victory over the Mitchell County Eagles 21-14. And Munro winning over. So Munro wins over Mitchell County 21-14. And it was the Tornadoes' first win in their first game and play on Thursday night at Hugh Mills Stadium. So Munro going to 1-0 on the year. And they'll head south down to Cairo, Georgia to face the Cairo Serve Makers. And more on the battle for the Barnett's Creek Bucket a little later in this program. And so take a look at some of the first year head coaches and how they fared in the Worth County Rams under new head coach Jeff Hammond. Took down the Turner County Titans in Ashburn, Georgia. Final score 28-6. And Worth County jumped out to the lead and never trailed, and Worth County going to 1-0 on the season. And also, so another one of those first year head coaches, Justin Rogers, joining the Thomas County Central Yellow Jackets as their head coach after coaching the last 3 years at Colquitt County. And the Yellow Jackets won convincingly over the Cairo Serve Makers 50-7. And in doing so, the Yellow Jackets not only won their first Barnett's Creek Bucket since 2016, they also spoiled the debut of new Cairo head coach David Coleman, who was named to replace Steve Dvorsny, who resigned in June after spending the last 7 seasons as the Serve Makers head coach. And not much to talk about there. You see, in Thomas County Central, easy winner. And also, going a few miles east on US Highway 84 in Quitman, Georgia, and the Brooks County Trojans, who won the Class Single A public state title last season, and spoiled the debut of new Thomasville head coach Jonathan DeLay, who replaced Zach Grage at Lowndes. And it was the Trojans out of Quitman winning easily over the Thomasville Bulldogs 42-7. and seeing Brooks County obviously picking up where they left off in single A, and going from single A public to the new look division, class single A division one. And Brooks County led 21-0 and in the first quarter, and really and truly never looked back. Seeing Thomas, so rough start to the Jonathan Delay era. Delay, D-E-L-A-Y, rough start to the Jonathan Delay era for the Thomasville Bulldogs. And see, Thomasville will face Thomas County Central at home and at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Thomasville. And moving right along, and another new head coach in Lawrence Smith. I mean, led the Crisp County Cougars to a 17-6 victory over the Dooley County Bobcats from Vienna, Georgia. And Caden Daniels, Caden, C-A-D-C-A-Y-D-E-N, Caden Daniels had a pick six, which went for 54 yards. David Mitchell made a 49-yard field goal. David Mitchell made a 49-yard field goal, 49 yards. Samaj Chatfield rushed for over 1 yard and 28 carries. And Trey Walker picked off 2 passes. So, a lot of heroes for Crisp County as the Lawrence Smith era got off to a good start, and Smith replaced Miguel Patrick, who left Crisp County after leading the Cougars to a 9-3 season, a Region 2 AAA championship in the trip to the quarterfinals last year. 17-6, Crisp County over Dooley County. And in a battle of first-year head coaches that started on Friday night, but had to be finished on Saturday down in Adel, Georgia, because of all the rough weather that was occurring all over the state. And it was Cook winning their first game under new head coach Byron Slack, crushing the Pelham Hornets 55-7, and Pelham. And Pelham has Leonard Guyton as their new head coach, replacing Lamar Landing. And it was Cook winning easily 55-7. And also Houston County. And the Houston County Bears and the new head coach, Jeremy Edwards, spoiling the debut of Sumter County's new head coach, Clifford Fed. And was the Bears winning 41-7. Over Sumter County, and the Panthers are back home so against the Westover Patriots from Albany. And some other games of interest, and seeing the Saturday game in the Georgia-Florida Challenge at Lowndes High School at Martin Stadium in Valdosta, and the Colquitt County Packers and pitched a shutout over Deerfield Beach down in Florida. Final score 37-0. And the Sean Calhoun area getting off to a good start for Colquitt County. And Charlie Pace rushed for 185 yards and 2 touchdowns. So the Packers will draw another tough opponent in Stockbridge, and see Colquitt County go get another stern test against Stockbridge this week, and the home opener for the Packers at MacThorpe Stadium in Moultrie. And also in the Colquitt County game was delayed about an hour and a half due to lightning. So probably longer. Probably that rain delay probably lasted about roughly 2.5 hours. I don't think they started play until like around 8 o'clock. or so. I think when they finally did resume and Colquitt was firing on all cylinders and they go on to win over Deerfield Beach, Florida, 37-0. And in the other contest at the Georgia College, Georgia Florida Challenge on Saturday, August 20th, the Lowndes Vikings hosted the American Heritage Patriots at a plantation, Florida, and American Heritage and jumped out to a big lead, 24-0 at halftime, and basically just cruised from there, winning 38-20, and Lowndes could never get its offense going. So Lowndes really struggled in the debut of a head coach, Jack Grage, who came to the Valdosta area from Thomasville, and after leading the Bulldogs to the Class AA state championship game, only to lose to now former Region 1 AA rival Fitzgerald. And Zach Grage is now at Lowndes. Seems like Grage got a found it, and Grage had a rough welcome to big time high school football here in Georgia, even if it was an out of state opponent. 38-20, Lowndes loses to American Heritage of Florida. So, and the Vikings will host another team from Florida in Gadsden County, and just barely across the state line down in Quincy, Florida. And also, he had Valdosta, the Valdosta Wildcats, having no trouble in taking care of business and taking down North Miami Senior High School from North Miami, Florida. Final score, 40-6, 4-0 for Valdosta, only 6 for North Miami. And it'll be interesting to see if Valdosta and still will have to deal with the loss of Gabriel Harris, whom just last week was declared ineligible, or by the Georgia High School Association. Harris had already been declared ineligible. Harris last Tuesday, August 16th, and filed an appeal with the GHSA. The GHSA heard it on that Tuesday, and unfortunately, his appeal was denied. From the sources I've been reading, and a lot of sources say that Harris is now playing for the IMG Academy, one of those prep schools down in Florida. So, and seeing Harris has committed to the University of Georgia, the defending national champion Bulldogs. So I think Valdosta will probably be fine without Gabriel Harris, and it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And Valdosta plays host to Cook this Friday, hoping to go to 2-0. And some other games that are worth looking at in this past week. Let's see, in the defending AA state champion Fitzgerald Purple Hurricanes rallied from a 20-7 deficit to defeat the Irwin County Indians, final score 28-20. And so Fitzgerald, after winning the AA title, their first state championship of any kind in football since way back in 1948. They pick up where they left off last season, and the Purple Hurricanes drove 95 yards in 2 minutes to take a 21-20 lead with 42 seconds left. And then the Purple Hurricanes basically put the game away when Xavier Walker and scooped up a fumble, ran 60 yards for a touchdown. And that gave Fitzgerald a 20-20 lead. Gave Fitzgerald a 20-20 lead over Irwin with 20 seconds left. And seeing Fitzgerald led 361 to 281 in total yards. And Fitzgerald, and like in many of these rivalry games, so it comes down to, it just comes down to who wants it more. And it's obvious that Fitzgerald wanted that game more in the end. Final score once again, Fitzgerald 28, Erwin County 20. And see, looking through more of these final scores. And looking through more of these final scores for this opening week of 2022. And in the private school ranks in the new GIAA, the Deerfield Windsor Knights got a big win over Westfield, 45-28 at Webb Memorial Stadium on the Deerfield campus in Albany. Let's see, Deerfield led, Deerfield had a 35-28 lead in a high scoring contest. It was only a 7-point game for the Knights. And then they scored the game's final 10 points. And the Knights make a triumphant return to being in what is now the Georgia Independent Athletics Association, formerly the Georgia Independent School Association. Also, going back to the GHSA, Coffee, a 55-7 winner over Tift County. I mean, what really surprised me, it was not so much that Coffee won, but it was the margin of victory. I think that turned out to be the real surprise in this contest. And Tift County came into this, and Tift County Blue Devils beginning their second year under head coach Noel Dean, dropping from Class 7A to Class 6A. And Tift County came into this game as well as this season with such high expectations, but obviously being blown out by a Coffee team which came in ranked in the top 10 in the state. I mean, thinking if you're Coffee, I mean, if you're Tift County, I should say, you're probably wondering what went wrong. And obviously a lot went wrong. And a lot of things, just everything that could go wrong, did go wrong for Tift County. And it's a opening week of 2022. And elsewhere around the area, Early County Bobcats moving down from Class AA to Class Single A Division II, opened the season with a 52-14 rout over the Miller County Pirates. So in Early County, and going to 1-0 on this young season. In the Early County, been in the playoffs and at the Class AA level the past two seasons, and then now it'll be interesting to see if Early County can compete in Class Single A Division II. And and seeing the first of multiple games within Region 1 Single A Division 2. And thanks to a odd quirk in the schedule, Early County will get all their region games out of the way and only play non-region games, including regular season finale at Irwin County against Irwin County to close out their season on November 4th. But like the saying goes, that's neither here nor there. So, and some other games, and other games from around the area, and the Wilcox County Patriots opened their season with a 48-35 loss to Lamar County. So Lamar County is in Class Single A Division 1, and Wilcox County competes in Region 4 Single A in Division 2. And other scores of interest: Lanier County was a 12-6 winner over Bacon County. So Lanier County, one of five teams in Region 2 Single A Division 2, along with Atkinson County, Clinch County, Charlton County, and Turner County, improved to 1-0 on this 2022 season. And then speaking of Clinch County, then the Panthers from Homerville, Georgia, edged Berrien in Nashville, Georgia, final score 19-18. And the Clinch Berrien game was another game that started on Friday night. It had to be completed on a Saturday afternoon because of bad weather. And it was Clinch County getting the win, 29-22. And Berrien falling to 0-1 on the season. And already mentioned Colquitt County winning 37-0 over Deerfield Beach from Florida. And also Lowndes losing to American Heritage from Florida, 38-20. And she got some, and also Deerfield Windsor in the GIAA, a winner over Westfield. Final score 45-28, Deerfield Windsor over the Westfield Hornets. And some other scores around the area. These are in the GIAA. Southland Academy, Golden Raiders from Americus, traveling up the road to Taylor County in Butler, Georgia, and the Southland edging Taylor County 21-20. And in a low scoring contest, it was Terrell Academy getting by Southwest Georgia Academy 14-7. And Tift Area 42-20 loser to Bullock Academy. And more final scores from elsewhere. And you're seeing Brookwood out of Thomasville, a 41-12 winner over Frederica Academy. I think that's it. I think there might be some more games of interest in Schley County. From Ellaville, Georgia, competes in Region 6 AA, Division 2. And rallied in the closing seconds to win over Tatnall Square. And the final score was 28-21 Schley County. And Schley County beginning the season ranked as the number one team in Class Single A Division II. And also in Region 1-6A in Jones County, picking up the Jones County, knocking off north side of Warner Robins, 27-21. Tough loss for the north side Eagles. And closer to home in the Bakerton Charter Blazers, were scheduled to open the season down in Bainbridge against Grace Christian, but that game is postponed due to the bad weather. And Trinity Christian of Dublin winning a high-scoring game over Piedmont Academy. Final score 41-40. And wrapping things up, and seeing wrapping things up for this week. And how about some of the games of interest here in the Southwest Georgia Network coverage area, starting in Albany, Daugherty County, surrounding areas. Seeing the Daugherty Trojans will look to go to 2-0 when they host the Randolph Clay Red Devils. And that game at Humil Stadium will mark the return of a former Monroe head coach, Charles Tewitt, who's now the head coach at Randolph Clay. And Tewitt was the head coach at Monroe for 17 seasons until stepping down at the end of the 2020 season. And after leaving Monroe, Tewitt spent a season as an assistant under head coach Eric Soliday at Tift Area before accepting the Randolph Clay job. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Also, the Monroe Tornadoes, speaking of Monroe, and now the Cairo to face the Surf Makers. It'll be interesting to see if new head coach David Coleman can get his first win as the Surf Makers head coach. And also Worth County going to Mitchell County. So the Rams looking to move to 2-0 under Jeff Hammond. And while Mitchell County will avoid trying to fall to 0-2 and elsewhere. And Coffees at Bainbridge. And after losing to Cedar Grove, I mean, it only gets tougher for head coach Jeff Littleton and the Bearcats. Facing Coffee, Cook at Valdosta, and the Class AA Hornets from Adel facing the Class 7A Wildcats at Baseball Hire Stadium. Crisp County heading way up north into Atlanta to face Westlake. Dooley County, Irwin County, and Casey Soliday and his squad and bounce back after blowing a 20-7 lead to Fitzgerald, losing 28-20, Early County, Seminole County. Another rivalry game down in Donaldsonville. And also in Thomas County Central, and facing Thomasville, Lanier County. Traveling to McRae, Georgia to face Telfair County. I already mentioned Monroe, Cairo, and Monroe, Florida. RF Monroe, spelled M-U-N-R-O-E, at Quincy, Florida, heading into Dawson, open the season against the Green Waves. And the Pelham Hornets traveling to Casita, Georgia, just south of Columbus. Just south of Fort Benning and Columbus. I might add, to face Chattahoochee County. And already mentioned Randolph Clay and Daugherty squaring off at Hugh Mills Stadium. and Colquitt County at home against Stockbridge. Thomas County Central going to Thomasville. The battle of, you got Justin Rogers, already 1-0 is Thomas County Central City Coast, facing off a Bulldogs team against the Bulldogs teams looking for win number one under new head coach Jonathan DeLay. Tiff County looking to get win number one under their belts, traveling up into Hampton, Georgia to do battle with the Dutchtown Bulldogs, South Metro Atlanta area. Turner County's at Fitzgerald, Westover at Sumter County. Both teams sitting at 0-1. And the Patriots are looking for win number one in 2022 under second-year head coach Adam Miller, while the Panthers are also looking to get into the win column under first-year head coach Clifford Fed, who came to Sumter County, ironically, from Dutchtown, Worth County, Mitchell County, and in the private school ranks. And Deerfield is at home against McClay School out of Tallahassee, Florida. And Brookwood at home against Wewatchika from Florida. Hard to pronounce. Marion, I see Southland Academy is at home against Southland Academy, home against Marion County. Terrell County at home against Piedmont. Tiff area hosting Frederica, and Bowood facing off against St. Andrews. And and Stephen trying to look at some other teams from our area. And in Southwest Georgia Academy, after the loss to Terrell Academy, we'll look to get into the win column for the first time this season, hosting Central Fellowship Christian Academy out of Macon. So I think that'll just about do it for this installment of the High School Football Roundup podcast for the week ending Monday, or the week beginning. The week beginning Monday, August 22nd, 2022. And whatever score to add. And Petola Charter Panthers from Calhoun County in Edison, Georgia, pitching a shutout over Barber County, Alabama. Barber spelled B-A-R-B-O-U-R, Barber County, Alabama. Final score 52-0. So now that's going to do it for this installment of the High School Football Roundup podcast for the week beginning Monday. It's Monday, August 22nd, 2022. And before ending this episode, and some quick reminders to go to the Southwest Georgia Network website at southwestgeorgianetwork.com, and you'll find this and past episodes in the High School Football Roundup podcast on the Southwest Georgia Network website. And once again, Southwest Georgia Network, southwestgeorgianetwork.com. Also follow on Twitter at SWGA Network. And you also listen on Spotify at spotify.com, and under the SWGA Network handle on Anchor at anchor.fm. So that's going to do it. I'm Walter Johnson saying have a good rest of your week. And as always, stay safe out there. Stay safe. Thank you. God bless you. Goodbye. out of here.
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Southwest Georgia Network. The Southwest Georgia Network is online at southwestgeorgianetwork.com and on Twitter at SWGA Network. Thanks for listening.